episode of The Mom Game is presented by our friends at Gateway GMC at LBJ and Jupiter. I know that buying a car can be stressful, but not at Gateway because their slogan is Gateway's Got It. And just what does that mean? Well, it means Gateway's got a wide selection of new GMCs and GM-certified used vehicles, all competitively priced. Gateway's got it. In these busy times, you want a car dealer who makes things easy and convenient. Well, guess what? Gateway's got it. When you log on to gatewaygmc.com, look for the Shop Click Drive button. This allows you to shop from the comfort of your home, and who doesn't want that? In fact, it's as easy as 1, 2, 3. 1, select your vehicle. 2, create your offer. 3, schedule your delivery. And on top of all this, Gateway GMC offers complimentary car washes for life. So when you want a dealer who has it all, Gateway's got it. You can find them online at gatewaygmc.com or shop in person at LBJ and Jupiter. GMC, we are professional grade.
And let me talk to you now about our friends over at Golden Chick. If you have not gone to Golden Chick lately and checked things out, then make sure that you do. They have something for everybody on the menu at Golden Chick, and they have a special churro menu that churro. Is going on right now, a churro menu. If you go to Golden Chick and you get something off of the churro menu, then they will find an elementary school that is located right next to that particular Golden Chick, and they will donate 50 cents from your order to that elementary school because Golden Chick is awesome and they are always giving back to the community. One of the reasons that we love them.
Okay, right fast. Can't be confirmed. So Howard from Golden Chick is coming in soon, yes. Right? Is it next week?
I believe so.
And I think he's bringing, isn't he? Oh no, he's bringing wings.
He's bringing wings. Yeah. And we're going to have a hot wings.
Maybe we can talk him into some churros too.
Yeah, I bet we could.
Wings and churros. Okay.
Wings and churros.
Sorry.
Because they do have some delicious lemon pepper wings as well. And that's kind of the special menu feature for now and runs through December. So make sure you head over to Golden Chick. I love the chicken salad personally, the roasted chicken if you are on some sort of, you know, holiday diet or whatever. And then, of course, the delicious golden fried chicken as well. Something for everybody. And it is all good at Golden Chick. Take a picture if you do go and tag us. Golden Chick, thank you so much for your continued partnership here on The Mom Game.
And welcome inside the Coppola Studios for episode 244 of The Mom Game. I am Emily Jones. She is Julie Dobbs. We are just so settled in here in our little lovely abode.
Love it, don't you?
It's
so nice and cozy.
Getting ready for episode 244. Mm-hmm. And Julie, I want to start with a huge, huge, huge thank you to everyone who in any way, big, small, medium, whatever, contributed to the massive success of the Do It For Durrets 10th annual fundraising event, A Decade of Giving. It was phenomenal. And two of the people we've talked about already today, huge sponsors of that event. Gateway GMC was our presenting sponsor of that entire event, which was Golf in the Morning concert with the Josh Abbott Band at night. And Coppola Wines came through huge, as always, out on the golf course and at the concert. I saw you drinking some Coppola wine.
Heck yeah.
There that was being served.
You let me go into the VIP section.
You were so important. And yeah, so Coppola, all the VIPs drank Coppola wine gratis for free because our awesome partnership with Coppola, with our friend Dave Duncan, and again, the whole thing made possible by the continued support of so many people. Gateway GMC at the top of that list. Charles just continues to say yes to all the crazy shit I bring to him. So super grateful for those people and super grateful for everyone who bid on an item, came to the concert, talked about our event, talks about our foundation. It was huge. Over $320,000 raised.
That's insane.
For families impacted by sudden loss. It'll make me get choked up thinking about it. But it's just such a huge thing for our foundation, our mission, and what we're able to do. And so, to have an event, we put in so much work.
You
in particular, Anthony Andrew and Greg Denman, who really kind of spearheaded everything. And we were worried about doing an event this big, like, because we had been really small, like max of like 150, maybe 200 people there. And we didn't want it to be too big because we didn't want to lose our core audience. But we wanted to go bigger so we can continue to help more families and be a sustainable nonprofit foundation. And I feel like it was just the perfect little mix. And we learned a lot along the way. And I thought it turned out incredibly successful. I think everyone that went had a fantastic time. We raised a ton of money. Our silent and live auctions were insane. They were so good. The experiences that we were able to offer. And then I thought we were all was said and done. Opened mail. I forgot to check my mail in the drawer yesterday. And there's a check from the Seegers. So sweet, Corey and Maddie. Just little things that it just makes such a huge difference to people who I know personally who want to make this, believe in this mission the way that I do, and that, you know, continue to show up for it. So I just wanted to start out by saying thank you not only to, you know, to Copeland and to Gateway and to all of our sponsors for that event. Elevate Brand Marketing, who you know as well, but there's a ton of them. Next Step Recruiting, who put on the golf tournament. Anyway, I can't say all the sponsors and all the names, but it was just, it's so, you just like step back and realize, like, especially after fucking election week, and it was like, you know, it was, you know, everybody's so polarized and pissed or happy or whatever. And it was just like, it was just a good day, a good night for everyone to come together for a common cause, as cheesy as that sounds. And to know that you're like, to be in the weeds as I am with this foundation, to know exactly what we are doing. I write the checks. I talk to the people, not just me, but we talk to the people. Like, this is not you write a check and it goes to some, you know, big bank account and what, like, this is such a personal thing for me and for everyone who is on the board. And I feel like for everyone who supports it, that they take some of that personal ownership. And I hope that they do, because we couldn't do what we do without supporters, without volunteers who now, like, that you're talking about 10 years, the same volunteers keep showing up. And it's just, it's so amazing. And like I've said a million times, outside of my family, like, this is my proudest accomplishment, because we're doing something good.
Yeah.
Like, and it just makes you feel good to do good shit.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
Especially when shit's so negative and crazy. It's just, it's like, it's my little happy place, even though it's a sad place that, you know,
people are in. It eliminates that helpless feeling, right? Like when somebody loses somebody abruptly in their life, which you hear about more often than you wish and than you should.
Because
we're getting older. I mean, even guys are my age, like in their 40s, I'm hearing more like dads, like with heart attack stuff and heart stuff and all kinds of stuff. And there's just a feeling of like, oh my God, helplessness. Like, why did this happen? What can I do to help? And that's why it feels so good, I bet, is because you're able to help people answer that question.
Yeah.
Like, what can I do to help? And this is how they can help. And you are able to be right there and be that person in that moment when they need somebody the most. So I just think it's so awesome. And y'all absolutely killed it.
Yeah, thanks. I'm so happy to see you there.
Yeah,
it was a crazy night. I didn't get to talk to you and Kelly very much.
I know. Well,
running around,
it was the same night as our school auction, or else I would have been there like the whole day and night probably. But we did already buy those like $150 tickets or whatever it costs us to go to our own school auction.
I know.
I've
organized one of those before too.
Yeah, well, right? I know. They're kind of cray cray.
The whole thing.
But it's good. It's all for a good cause.
Yes.
I mean, the school needs it, the teachers, everything.
For
so
sure.
I fully commend anybody like you and like them that are able to give back and give time to such a good cause. It's just awesome. So it was so fun seeing Josh Abbott Band up there and wearing his Stars jersey.
Yes,
and I wish I'd gotten to see the live auction in the golf, but I'm just so proud of y'all. That's such a huge amount of money.
Thank you. Yeah, right. Ashley Ernest got the Stars jersey and got it. She texted me that the night before, and she's like, does Josh want a jersey? And I texted Josh and he's like, absolutely, I'd be honored to wear a Stars jersey on stage. So I asked him what number he wanted. And then she had Tyler and Jamie both sign it. Like, it was really cool. And he wore it with pride, and he's such a good dude. He's such a good dude. My little Texas Tech roots with him. And it's fun to be able to, you know, since it was our first, and shout out to Josh, I mean, and his band, those guys, talk about salt of the earth. Like, I went and had lunch with them, in between golf and the concert, and I mean, they're just the kindest, and, you know, and they're not this like huge whatever, but they are a big name act, you know.
Oh, it's
not, they're not like, I don't know, I'm trying to, Garth Brooks, I don't know, I'm trying to think of somebody.
Yeah.
It's a terrible reference, but anyway, but they're big time. I mean, this is their job. And so we had to go through some lumps with them of like really not knowing what we were doing. And
They're probably booking with like big venues.
Yes,
big,
yeah,
big
exactly.
Festivals
and they were so gracious and they were so kind. And Josh went and personally, they bought a guitar to auction off. We were supposed to provide it per the contract. He was like, nope, I got it. I bought a brand new guitar, played it that first set. We auctioned it off.
So cool.
It was like $5,500 for that guitar and, you know, four tickets to a Josh Abbott band show. And so anyway, it was just just made you feel good. It was such a good palate cleanse after, you know, a rough election week last week, which, remember, we were here last. It was election day.
Yeah.
We'll get to that in a minute. But another good palate cleanse, Hattie had her. At her school, they do this program called I Sing America. Mm-hmm. And basically, it's like the history of our country that's basically narrated, illustrated, performed by the kids. It's the most adorable thing you will ever see in your entire
school
life.
Programs are the best.
They are so, and I got a little teary this morning. I was like, oh my gosh, what am I doing? So anyway, they go through, I mean, there was like, you know, there was Betsy Ross and Abraham Lincoln and, you know, Henry, when he did this, was Jackie Robinson, and Hattie and her girlfriend were Serena and Venus Williams.
Oh, cool.
And so they did this whole, you know, background on the things that, you know, kind of what they had done for the sport of tennis, and then also too, just sports in general, and then just raising awareness for especially like, you know, Black female athletes and all that kind of stuff. And then the foundation that they set up in their sister's name. And anyway, so it was just, the last 4 days, you know, with the Dirt event and then the I Sing America, I'm like, okay, I'm flushing that whole, all the election drama. Like, I'm over it. I say that we're going to flush it in a minute, but talk about it a little bit.
Well, just,
but it just was, you know, you
things
just
had that are pure in this world. We need more of that.
Yeah, exactly. Yes.
Things that are good and
more
pure.
Purity, please.
Right.
More purity. Okay. What about you? Anything in particular before we get to some sportsy stuff? Because we got Brad Alberts coming on later, the president of the Stars, which is super exciting.
Yes.
Your dress is so cute, by the way. Did you wear green for the Stars?
No, I didn't really think about that. But
are those tigers?
They're tigers.
Is it Rent the Runway?
No, I stopped doing Rent the Runway because we're cutting back on
expenses
and like recurring things, you know, because they just pile up.
Yeah.
And, because I started to have to do all the stuff for Anna and asthma in our house. And so what I ended up doing was moving our cleaner from every other week to every week because that helps her and it helps me.
Yeah.
So I was like, okay, that's like about $200 a week. I've got to find. So I found it from Rent the Runway and my class pass, which are fine. Like, I'm fine.
Okay.
And the joint chiropractor. I'm like, I don't need all this stuff. Like, you know, they're more wants.
Yes.
So cutting back on some needs or some wants and adding needs. And I feel like that was such a good decision. Even if Anna didn't have asthma, having a weekly cleaner, like, oh my gosh.
Yeah. Prioritizing
it's so
that stuff.
Worth it.
Good
yeah.
For you, Julie.
Yeah. Yeah. Thanks. And, you know, I loved Rent the Runway, but there was a point when I'm like, all I'm doing is this. I don't own anything. Like, I don't have any clothes anymore that are like new, that I have old clothes that are frumpy. So this is from a really cute little store in my neighborhood called The Store in Lake Highlands.
It's super cute.
Thanks.
I could never pull that off, but you look adorable.
That's so sweet. Thank you. Well, I'm also, when you ask what's going on in my world, I think I was a little excited today about my upcoming trip with my college friends, and we are the Missouri Tigers.
Okay.
And so I'll probably bring this trip this dress to Cancun.
That's right. When are you? Yeah,
Friday.
That's right. And I leave tomorrow or Thursday.
You
I'm
leave
going
Thursday.
To Charleston.
That's right.
Yeah, couples trip. My best friend from college and her husband and Mike and I are going to Charleston. And I've only been to Charleston once, and that was for our friend Meredith Land's wedding when Meredith got married. I mean, it was before I met Mike, so it has to be like 16, 17 years
ago. I've never been.
It's adorable little town. It's very southern. I probably need to find some southerny things to wear so I don't stick out like a sore thumb. But anyway, we're going to just do like,
it'll be so fun.
Just eat good food.
Are the husband's friends?
They're real good friends.
Yeah.
So just going to eat a bunch of good food, sleep. We booked like a carriage ride. I used my friend, her name's Chesley, and she has a travel business. Cool. And so for the first time, like, I just was like, okay, here we go.
A good way to do it.
We get in on Thursday. We leave on Sunday. She's arranged for our ground transportation, all of our dinner brunch reservations, a little carriage tour of Charleston. So check her out. Elevate Travel is the name of her. Like, I have it on an app. So like, I have our whole itinerary on an app.
Oh,
that has like our reservation confirmations.
Yeah.
Times.
Yeah. I've got a friend doing that too.
Amazing.
I think it's a good mom job. Like,
yeah.
Mine does like a lot of Disney.
Disney's
a big one. But
yep, Lisa, my friend Lisa, she did Lisa's Disney trip too.
Yeah. Well, that's great and fun to have someone else just do all the planning that you can just kind of follow along.
I'm not trying to make reservations. I didn't want to deal with it.
We have all types of personalities in our group. So we have 10 girls going.
Okay, where are y'all staying?
We're staying at the Secrets Vine in Cancun.
Okay.
It's nice. It's like nicer than, you know, where we would have gone when we were younger.
Right?
It's all inclusive. It's adults only.
So key.
Because I've stayed at some all inclusives where there are kids and it just, the kids get really annoying. Like, you know, like I've been in a hot tub with like kids splashing me and I'm like, I left my kids at home. I don't want to get splashed by some little pipsqueak kids. Like
if you're going on a couple's trip, like if you're going on an adult trip, you have to do no kids.
Yeah.
Or at least where they have designated areas, maybe. I don't know.
And I didn't ever think about that till this trip when someone said it.
Really? Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
If I'm leaving my kids at home, I don't want to be around yours.
I know. It's so true.
Because there's a reason.
Well, we only get so many windows of our whole entire life.
Yeah.
Like, to have adults only.
Yeah. There's a place in Puerto Vallarta I've been to.
You've talked about it.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
And it's smaller. The service is great. We need it. Maybe they want to. What if they want to do it?
Call them up. They probably know you at this point.
Hotel Musai.
Yes, we can do a mom game vacation.
Yes.
But yeah, this is one of those that's like you never think it's going to get out of the group chat. You know.
Okay, so is it Friday to Monday?
Friday to Monday. It's not that long.
That's 3 nights.
One of my friends sent a picture of like a sombrero this morning and was like, "See you bitches there." We're like, "What do you mean? What are you doing?" She's like, "I decided to go today." Like she had some free hotel points or something. So her and her husband just decided to go today. I'm like, that is not fair. So the countdown has begun. But yeah, this is like my best group of girlfriends from Mizzou. And there's 10 of us. And we have stayed in close contact ever since college, which was forever ago at this point. And the husbands are all friends, but like not, you know, we live all over the place. But besides when everyone was getting married, you know, and you bring dates, like we've never done a trip like this with husbands. So there's going to be 20 people.
Okay. So, and are y'all staying like in each individual room?
Yeah.
Or, okay.
Each couple has their own room and like everyone just got like a
private time.
Oh yeah. No, is it bad? We're all kind of like, want to like stay up and have slumber parties. Like that's what we love about our girls' weekends.
Take care of business during the day.
What business?
Check it off the list.
Oh, the daytime business?
Yeah.
And then you stay up with the summer party?
You have to have hotel do-its are a thing.
Oh.
Like, if you go to a hotel, that's what you have to do. Like, that's kind of part of the thing.
I don't know. What are you speaking of?
Do-its.
Please expand.
Hotel do-its.
On the spot.
Yeah. I mean,
I
mean, I think everyone knows what I'm talking about. I just said hotel do-its. Daytime hotel do-its.
Like in between activities on your schedule?
Just knock it out in the morning.
On your itinerary? Whatever. Do you itinerary your do-its?
Sometimes it's necessary. Not on vacation, but at home.
Yeah.
You know, you got to figure
pencil
out.
Pencil that in.
Well, I mean, it's like.
Do you ever go and delete, cancel?
What's our window? Never put it in writing. It's only a verbal.
It's a verbal commitment.
I don't ever need that shit in writing.
We laugh, but I think a lot of people do this.
Oh, 100%.
Like, I know a girlfriend that does it. She's like, yeah, we have it scheduled for this time. And it's like,
you know. We don't really have time scheduled, but there's a day of the week that shit gets knocked out for sure.
Like the baseline, just to make sure.
Right. Like, if all else fails, if we can't get to it any other time during the week, we know we've got.
Hump day?
We've got well played. No.
Keep sure. Guessing.
No. It's not.
I'll stop asking. Tell me off air.
This is as far.
Tell me off air.
This is okay.
So I can send you emojis on that day.
Eggplants.
They can send you some bananas.
Bananas.
Oh. Yes, well, I'm going to Mexico.
What are we?
I'm going
15 minutes into the show. We've already reached the gutter.
Yeah.
Cheers, everyone.
Cheers. By the way,
what?
We need to try some cookies. Can we have some wine and cookies?
Sure.
We were talking before this show began about how I can't wait to just be an old lady with like nothing to do. And I hopefully like a lot of money. Like, I don't need to be rich. I just want to have a lot of money to where I don't have to stress. And I want to be an old lady that sits there and drinks white wine on ice and eats whatever the F I want.
Gluten-free cookies?
Gluten-free cookies. So these are gluten-free cookies from Fried and Free.
Okay.
And this sweet gal, Kara Willis, she did our cookies for our mom game launch party.
Oh my God. So good.
So good. When we became a business, like we were already
just
a show,
had chocolate chip.
The chocolate chips. My so favorite. Good. There were some red velvet with cream cheese frosting that didn't make it here. She did our like little individually wrapped chocolate chip cookies at our party at Four Corners. And so I just like saw her on Instagram and reconnected. I was like, how's it going? Like, she was like, oh, I'm good. I was thinking about you too. And she was like, let me bring you some cookies over. So, she brought some cakes, gooey butter cake that my family was freaking out. Isn't it amazing? I swear it's better than anything.
It's so good.
With gluten in it. Like, they're so good. And I know a lot of people, more and more people are gluten free these days or dairy free. Like, that shit is making people, it's all inflammation and makes people sick. So,
no, big food.
Yes, big food.
Big food.
Big food.
Mm-hmm. Big.
It is big.
Good. Okay, so shout out to her for the good, delicious.
Fried and free.
Fried and free. Is she like on the Instas or what?
She's on the Instas.
She's on the Instas.
Yeah. Fried. This is a small business.
So fried and free?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
They're so good.
Okay.
If we do another mom game event, I want to have her bring some little individual cookies. Anyway, I forget what we're talking about.
I don't know. Sports.
Oh, that's what I want to do when I get older.
Drink wine.
Drink wine. Eat on ice. And I don't know why wine on ice, because we have ice in our wine today.
Well, because we didn't.
Sounds like old lady thing.
We didn't properly chill in our refrigerator, which is right there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I want to drink wine on ice, and I want to sit outside in a rocking chair.
With gluten-free cookies.
With gluten-free cookies. Right. Like every day. And like every listen day. To the Rangers on the radio, listen to sports on the radio.
What if I'm on the TV?
I don't want to listen to, don't let me, whoever's listening, I hope you will still be doing our show maybe, or maybe not, but don't let me turn into like bitter politics lady.
Okay.
Or like what's going on in Russia lady.
Okay.
When I'm old.
I don't think either one of us know enough about stuff.
No, but they don't either. They just think they do because they only watch the news.
Great point.
You know what I mean?
Great,
like, I just don't want to get addicted to the news and like being bitter.
Oh, it's why.
That's why I'm going to sit outside when I'm old.
Old people just watch so much news.
They do.
Oh, it's so sad.
Because it's on all day.
I know. Oh, bless. Okay.
That's where you need to watch Wheel of Fortune.
Yeah, sure. Days of Our Lives. Okay. Let's get a little sports.
What do you want your old lady life to be like? And then let's go sports course.
Okay. So I don't know. Like maybe I'll chill the fuck out when I'm old. I don't know. Like, so maybe I'll just drink white wine and eat gluten-free cookies and
outside,
hang out outside. I don't know. I haven't thought about that. Is that weird? Like that? I haven't thought about like. I think I'm just so like head down.
Yeah,
it's so funny because. Sorry, sidetrack, everyone, audience, apologies. Jaffa, who is Charles Cooksey's GM, Gateway, his not wife, the long time girlfriend, might as well be his wife. She puts up with his ass. And she was like, because the day after the Durant event, I was texting her about scouting, so doing some wine, something, whatever. Tasting her, I don't know. Anyway, so she's like, I was working. She's like, what are you doing? Like, why do you do all this stuff or something? And I said, I don't know.
I love that. Good question.
And I think it's because my dad always told me, like, make hay while the sun shines. I've told you this before. Yeah. Make hay while the sun shines. Make hay while the sun shines. And it's like, I don't know when the sun is setting. And so I'm just trying to make as much hay as I can.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not even talking about money or whatever. Obviously, that's all part of it. But I just want to try to, I'm trying to do as much as I can while the sun is shining.
Well, and maybe sun shining means not only like you're on TV and people know you, but also like this, not to be like cheesy, but it's shining inside of you. Like you have the drive. That's going to go away.
100%.
Like when you're feeling the drive.
Right.
And like the burn and the passion to do it, then just go all in and do it.
Right. And then I don't know when that's going to go away.
Yeah.
I don't know when that's going to, I don't know. So I don't know. So I honestly have not thought about what my life will look like beyond my kids being in my home.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, I think part of it too is because I'm scared shitless of that.
Yeah.
I am scared shitless of my kids leaving my house.
Yeah.
And I don't know if I've ever even said that out loud. Like, I feel like they'll be prepared. I feel like they're going, I hope that they'll flourish. But it's such a terrifying thing to think about that I won't even let myself go there. Yeah. Like of what it's going to be like when you're an empty nester and all that kind of stuff. Like that scares the shit out of me.
Me too.
Being an empty nester.
You don't think about it.
I don't think about it at all. I refuse to think about it. I don't want to acknowledge that it's going to happen.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe my kids will start making really bad grades and they won't ever graduate from high school.
There you go. Or you could be like me and tell them they have to go to college close.
But see, then, but when we had these conversations, I tell my kids that
give them roots and wings.
Go and fly and blah, blah, blah. Yeah.
But I'm like, but also like you could go to SMU. I know. I'm like, I can go to your parties.
It'd be so fun. So anyway,
I'll pick you up at 2 a.m. You okay, honey? No, I'm with you. It's a scary thought.
Yeah, it is. It's crazy. And I didn't think about it till just now.
I'm sorry.
It's okay.
I put you there.
It's okay. That's what we're for. Okay, let's do a little sports courts.
Okay.
Brought to us by our friends at Ty Locke, George Eye Care. Are you tired of wearing glasses? Are you tired of wearing contacts? I don't think you wear contacts. I think you wear contacts. If you're tired of wearing glasses, contacts, readers, whatever it is, our friends at Ty Locke George can help you find a solution to ditch all of those things. I just saw Julie post a graveyard of her readers.
Not reader's girlfriend.
They were, they were prescription. that's right. They were prescription because she only had LASIK because that's what the young kids get. Mm-hmm. Old hags like me get contact lens replacement. Then you can avoid cataract surgery later on in life. It's a beautiful thing. I can see clearly. It's really a life-changing thing not have to reach for those reader's prescription glasses for you youngsters. To read your computer, to read your phone, to watch TV, to drive, all those kind of things. So it's been life-changing for Julie and I. They've got a little something for everyone. They also have a financial plan for everyone. 24 months interest-free financing with approved credit. Just give them a call, mention the Mom Game, or visit their website, tylock.com/TMG for our exclusive discount up to $200 off depending on what surgery route you decide to go. Free consultations, give them a call today, get on their calendar so you can figure out if this is maybe a little something you might want as a present this holiday season. Again, tylock.com/TMG or give them a call and mention the Mom Game.
That's right.
Okay, I have in here, Julie, because we always talk about our local teams in their current state. So I have Cowboys, Stars, Mavs, and I put Cowboys-OMG.
You did.
I did. I don't really have the bandwidth, and we say that, and then we always talk about them. I don't have it.
You don't want me to talk about it.
Well, I mean, we can, but it's been dissected. If someone is listening to this, they've probably heard this spiel 800 times about the Sun and Dak's out now for the year, and Mike is saying shit about Mike McCarthy. I'm exhausted. I still love this team. I still want them to win, but for fuck's sake, I am spent.
I think that I like doing I like picturing the listener that's like not a huge sports fan, but that's a mom and like kind of wants to be able to participate in a little bit of a sports conversation.
Okay. You give them
water
all
cooler.
The ammunition.
I was going to let you.
No, I'm going to sit here and eat Snickers.
That's not fair.
Gluten-free snickerdoodle cookies.
That's not fair. So if you're listening and you really want just like a brief overview of the Cowboys, you can help me. Yeah. They're a complete shit show this season.
This decade. Well, this century.
Yes, but especially this season. Like they've usually finished 8-8 kind of thing and like, you know, get into the playoffs and then lose or just miss getting into the playoffs or usually get into the playoffs and lose badly. And this season, that's not going to happen. So this season, people are very down on the Cowboys and it's almost like it is funny this year. It's comical. They don't have a running back. They brought back Ezekiel Elliott and he's been really bad. He's also not showing up for meetings. He's missing things. He's late to this, that. He doesn't seem to care very much, and then he finally gets an opportunity to perhaps score a touchdown for the Cowboys in a game this past Sunday, and he fumbles it, and the Cowboys don't score. It was so funny. We were watching, and then Kelly was like, oh, Jules, Trey Lance is in. And I was like, oh, good. Everyone always gives me shit because I really think Trey Lance is going to be good. And I was like, Emily gives me shit. Jeff Kavanaugh gave me shit. Like, I'm still holding out hope for Trey Lance. Let's see what happens. Interception.
Yeah.
I'm like, damn it. Okay, well, not yet. I'm not
give giving time.
Up on Trey Lance. And Kelly's like, you know about the preseason and blah, blah. I'm like, I know, but you have to get your feet wet and you have to learn the hard way and all the things.
I know.
I don't know. But anyway, so the Cowboys are just terrible, but it's like, it's comical at this point. And then CeeDee Lamb missed like a wide open reception for a touchdown in the end zone.
Because he lost the ball in the sun.
Because he lost the ball in the sun.
When they have curtains at the stadium that they can draw in order to block out the sun, but they continue to not do it. It's just, and my whole thing is like, I've been a Cowboys fan since I was a tiny little girl. I wanted to be a Dallas Cowboys cheerleader when I grew up. I mean, when I was five.
That's cute.
I wanted to be a Dallas Cowboys cheerleader. And then I realized I didn't have the assets necessary.
You could buy them.
And then I bought them. And then it was too late for me to be a Dallas Cowboys cheerleader. But it just makes me sad because, like, for example, for the first time this weekend, we had no kids sports. I cannot tell you the last time that happened. We had nothing. It was amazing. And so I was like, I mean, we get up on Sunday morning. Hattie had a couple girls spend the night, make breakfast for them. The boys go to church. Hattie went to church. I did not go to church. I did listen online. Pastor Lance, I did. Official spiritual advisor of the mom game, Lance Marshall. Listened online while I got the house back in order because I wanted the I wanted us to have like an entire, like it's just an afternoon. Mike was going to smoke some meats on the Traeger and I was so excited. Like, we're just going to chill and watch the Cowboys. And then it's like, okay, first half, not terrible. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, 14-6, you were still in it. Like, this is great. Like, we're smoking meats. It's awesome.
It's a Sunday.
It's a Sunday.
We're killing it as a family.
3:25 game. Like, this is setting up perfectly. No kids sports. We have nowhere to be. And then the third quarter starts and it's like, well, here we fucking go. Like, what else do we have to do? What other games are on? It just was like, I just want to be entertained. I mean, is that me being so greedy and so simple minded? Like, I just want to be entertained. Like,
well, you can
just want you to be in a game.
I think at this point it's like you just
want to be in the game.
Team.
I know. Well, and I have. So I've not adopted, but so then I found reasons to watch other teams. So like I watched the Commanders because Cliff Kingsbury, who is a friend of mine, is the offensive coordinator. It's easy to root for the
Lions.
They're
playing well.
They're playing well. They did lose that game Sunday, but Dan Campbell, who I covered when I was first got to Dallas as a cow, you know, when he was a Cowboys tight end, or fullback, whatever he was. I don't know. He didn't catch the ball or touch it very much, but he was a really good
tight end.
Okay. He was a really good locker room guy. And he was a really good blocking tight end. He didn't catch a ton though, did he, Danny? What were his stats? Now I'm going to feel stupid, but
I have no idea.
Okay. Anyway, Dan Campbell was great. He's super intense. Like, he's easy to root for. The whole Patrick Mahomes thing is also another easy connection for me with the Texas Tech ties. And, you know, I had that connection before Travis and Taylor started dating. So Kansas City has always been one to watch for me. So I found other reasons to watch, you know, other teams, but it does make me sad. Like,
they'll come back around.
The Cowboys are my team.
I know.
I want them to be good.
Same. But when you look at like Jerry and how he's really doesn't give a crap, it doesn't seem like, and doesn't even answer the question seriously about the roof or the sun and all that. Like, to me, I'm like, okay, if this owner can't care very much, then I don't care.
But here's the thing.
I don't have the energy. He doesn't have the energy. I don't have the energy.
I think he cares. I absolutely believe he cares.
And why wouldn't he fix that?
Because he's how many?
I know.
How many old dudes have you been around? Like, I don't know how.
Interesting question.
Well, I mean, I'm just saying, and this is one thing I've said this a million times about my dad. My dad was 67 when he died, unexpectedly. I cannot imagine he was already starting to get a little curmudgeon-y and a little, you know, whatever, that if he would have, you just become more and more set in your way.
So you think he's not doing the curtains because he's like just digging in and not, he doesn't want people to be like, oh, I win, you lost kind of thing?
100%. Yeah. He is so dug in. And that's the thing that you see, and you see it with old dudes.
So to me, that's like you don't care about winning though.
But
if you care about winning, you would close the damn curtains.
But it's almost like they're delusional. Yeah. Like they're caught in this their own little world.
Well, it was the whole like Ring of Honor thing too.
Well, it's just like you're caught in your own little world to where also too you're one of the most powerful men in the entire country.
Yeah.
Because of the sports team you own is so valuable that you just
letting the power get in the way of the sports team.
Absolutely. And two, it's like you see all the time with professional athletes that they surround themselves with people who basically tell them, oh my God, what a great idea. Yes. Nope. You're right. You know what? You're right. You're right. And so I feel like there's just a lot of that going on. And so all that's getting clouded with him being old, stubborn, and set in his ways. Mm-hmm. So, okay, we've spent way too much time on the Cowboys.
Yeah, we have.
We got to move. Okay. Stars. We're going to talk Stars.
Yep,
with Brad Alberts, the president of the Stars, coming up in just a moment. And then Mavs, I hate to say this, I haven't watched.
Me either.
Okay.
But I do know I can watch them. I found them on my TV.
You did? Okay.
Step one. But yes. Yeah, I haven't gotten locked in yet.
Yeah, I have definitely not locked in. But they're kind of up and down. And then I did hear, though, that Jason Kidd was like throwing down some F-bombs and stuff. Like,
oh, what's he mad about?
They're flat.
Oh.
And so good for him. Like
throwing down F-bombs at the team?
Yeah, just saying like we're fucking flat. Like we need to, you know, like we need to come out with some urgency. And I think slow starts are a lot of the problem.
You need me to do my job real quick?
So they're kind of middling. I think they're 5-5.
Good job. And you did my job. Five and five.
Yeah, they got off to a really good start. And then I think they just, middling. That's my new word.
Yeah.
So I just think they're kind of hovering.
Yeah.
It's fine. I mean, it's a long season. I mean, 82 games, a long time. I mean, a lot of games.
It is. They're going to have to earn me this year. Talk to me when you get up into 7-6-5 spot in the West.
Okay.
I'll start watching.
Yeah, they're not even a play-in team at this point.
Mm-mm.
Yeah. Okay, well. You are on notice, Dallas Mavericks, Julie. Enough sportsy stuff. We did talk. Damn it! And this is the problem with the fucking Cowboys. We just fell into the trap.
We did.
We fell into the trap.
We did. We're part of the problem.
We are part of the problem. I'm leaving them off the rundown next week.
Okay, you lost your spot on our mom game rundown.
I mean,
deal with it.
Let me tell you something.
Deal with it. Take
if
that.
Jerry was not noticed before.
We're not even going to talk about you in sports scorts.
Betty is now.
Better get your shit together. We're back on sports scorts.
Okay, let's talk about what's on our feed brought to us by our friends at North Texas Food Bank. And you went to North Texas Food Bank and had a fun little day, which we need to talk about.
It involved
a late arrival and a bloody nose.
Yes, all the things.
All the things.
A bloody tooth this time. Bloody nose was at Mattress Firm.
Oh, that's right. Oh, loose tooth.
Loose tooth. Yes. What's on your feed brought to us by our friends over at North Texas Food Bank, and they are actually genuinely our friends, and we do really love and appreciate what they are doing for our community, because you may not realize how many children in North Texas are facing hunger, and it is actually 1 in 5 North Texas children. That's more than 286,000 kids. And thanks to the Bowman Foundation of America and Salmon's Enterprises, you can make double the difference for neighbors today. So right now is the time to make a donation, make a difference, because your gift is going to go 2 times as far. Every dollar provides access to 6 nourishing meals. You can stand with us here on the Mom Game and make a donation. And we actually have our own link if you want to go make a donation right now. It is ntfb.org/themomgame. And you can be a part of helping to solve hunger in North Texas and being a part of North Texas Food Bank's mission. This will be going on now, November 1st through December 31st. Their goal is to fund 50 million meals. This is their Face of Hunger campaign that they have going on in an effort to try and raise as much money as they possibly can before the end of the year, because the Face of Hunger lives in your community. It's behind you in the checkout line. It goes to school with your kids. You might not realize it, but it really is all around you. And we want to make sure that nobody here in North Texas, especially children, are struggling to find food. So it really could be anybody, and you can be a part of this endeavor with us and join on with the Mom Game and North Texas Food Bank, ntfb.org/themomgame, to go make a donation. And we would absolutely love it if you did.
Yes, please. And we're not going to spend too much time on this for the reels, but I feel like on my feed, I don't know about yours, is so much still election stuff.
MAGA baby.
Oh my gosh, so many
I don't know.
Things. It's careful, you'll get.
I don't really MAGA.
I know.
I just was being MAGA.
People are real. It's something.
wanted to be polarizing for our ratings.
I will say cut that clip of Julie with the MAGA baby.
Some engagement going.
It's just, I had a conversation with my girlfriends and they all were like, you probably should just stay off social media. Cause I'm like trying to like rationalize everything and like make sense of stuff. And they're like, yeah, you just probably should just check back after the election. Maybe even like a couple weeks after. The day after the election on social media was one of the most bananas scenes ever.
Mm-hmm.
It just makes me sad. And it's like, I still woke up the next day and everything, you know, my life was was completely unchanged. And I get that people are passionate about certain things and people are passionate about that or whatever. But it's like, what I don't understand is why people who are super passionate, right, for a certain reason, whatever cause it is, whatever, but they can't understand that there's someone else who is equally as passionate about something else,
mm-hmm.
which aligns with a different political vote than you.
Right.
But it's like we lose all sense of
reason. They're so passionate about that one thing, they can't realize that.
Right. But it's like, your passion's more important than my passion?
Yes.
Okay. Well, now that we know, good to know. Now
that's what it is.
Put that to bed.
That's what it is.
It's just, I just feel
they can't see the other side. They can't see.
Right.
Because they're so passionate about their thing. They can't, because I mean, I know people that are like, if you believe
If
you voted for that person, I will not be your friend anymore.
Right.
Like I cannot believe, I will not associate with somebody that believes X,
right.
Y, Z. It's like, okay.
Yeah. I don't get how you can think that your passion is the most important, and if everyone else doesn't see that your passion and your cause is the most important, well then you're a terrible human, or you know, whatever. Like, do you not realize that like everyone has, again, like I said 800 fucking times, like everyone has been through different life experiences, and the way we vote, the way we view things is shaped by those experiences.
Well, you're exactly right. And the reason is that their passion for their passion blinds them from seeing anybody else's side.
But wait.
And there's no way to talk sense into people like that.
Right.
So. But friends are probably right. It's like there's no way to talk sense into him.
There's no. And then two, why should just not on social media? Like what? I mean, is anybody's vote, or maybe, okay. Also in their defense, I have this platform to spew whatever I want. So maybe that's like their way of getting shit out. Mm-hmm. So you know what? I take that back. Do whatever you want on social media.
Yeah.
I can keep scrolling. So
it makes them feel better. Yep.
And if it does, then kick ass.
I've started not looking at any of it.
It's gross and it's not good. Okay.
Really, I'm not on X anymore at all. Like,
oh, I'm never on X.
X is the worst one.
X is awful.
I know.
Okay, we do have to do this because Hattie teased it. We're gonna quick hit Tackle Box.
Oh, all right, girl.
We have to.
Okay.
Because Hattie, God bless her.
She sure did.
Butt stuff. Okay, here we go. I had this on the list for a while.
I don't know what the butt stuff is about.
So it's about grown up stuff that probably is inappropriate. I shouldn't be talking about. Not like that. But happen, like stuff's go, like hemorrhoids. I used to think that only hemorrhoids, like, were only people who did butt stuff and like pregnant women. Like, what, when did hemorrhoids, like, is this what's happening to me? Like, it's gone now.
I'm trying to read through.
It's gone, and I know I'm probably gonna get killed for this. And probably it is just, it's gross, but it's part of growing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's part of getting old, I think. Maybe. I don't know. I just thought that like they were reserved for like pregnant women and people who did butt stuff. And it's not the case.
So that's like, that's,
so that's why
just pain.
It's just weird. It's just not good. It's just,
I don't know what it is.
It's not, it's just butt stuff. And we just need to move on. So anyway.
It's when you go potty.
It's when you go potty.
When you go number two, it really hurts?
No, it really doesn't.
Oh.
I don't know. It's just weird. I don't know. I don't get it. Like, fuck, I don't want to get older and like all this shit keep happening.
Well, it's going to happen.
I can barely hold my pee. I mean, it's,
I
like,
know.
Yes.
Same.
Okay.
Every time I go for a like a ball, like in tennis,
it's just a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah. It sucks. Okay.
In the middle of a match, I'm just like playing it cool. I'm like, oh, yeah.
When do moms need to have a talk? This is that.
So that was butt stuff?
No. That's different. And we're tabling that because that's a bigger conversation.
Okay.
That's going to take longer.
Table the butt stuff.
So now we need to do. No. That was butt stuff.
That wasn't.
Butt stuff is
we didn't
covered.
Give it what it deserved.
We fucking talked about hemorrhoids.
But you didn't, though. You just talked around hemorrhoids.
I just didn't know if this is a thing, something I should be getting used to. Like, is this just a part of getting old? Is just we get hemorrhoids now.
Yeah. Don't, we need another.
No, this is not for social media. There's
we
no
need another doctor.
Okay. Hemorrhoid stuff. Okay.
We need a doctor visit.
But we're not. Yeah, that's as far. That's as deep as I'm going on the butt stuff.
That's fine. But like, okay. So I actually saw like a post on our neighborhood page about this today. Like perimenopause and menopause.
Perimenopause.
Perimenopause. Yeah. Are you in peri or mena?
I'm probably full fucking blown at this point. I only have one ovary left.
And I don't get to do any of it. Like,
because you had a hysterectomy.
Yeah.
You don't even have an ovary, do you?
Like, I have nothing.
Yeah, I have one ovary.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But like this phase of life, like, yeah. I realize we don't need to do a whole segment on butt stuff, but I do think
this whole phase of
it's life. A good idea to like figure out what should be happening and,
right.
And
like,
what
do I
to
just
expect.
Need to-
Are there ways to help or no? Or you just is it just going to happen?
Agreed. Yeah. Okay. I mean, because I'm already freaking taking so much magnesium. It's ridiculous. Magnesium. Really? Have you gotten there? Get ready.
No. There's only like so many vitamins that can save us.
Well, dude, magnesium is so high up on the list. It helps you sleep and it helps you keep stuff going.
Oh, okay.
Butt stuff. Okay. When do moms need to have a talk? That's absolutely, we have to have more time for it.
Okay.
And then let's quick hit egregious husband crimes. Okay. Yeah. Toilet stuff. We've talked about this, haven't we? Like, I need you. I'm talking to you.
What about using the little brush? Do
the what?
Husbands need to use the little brush.
The little brush?
The little brush.
What is the little brush?
The little brush that cleans out the toilet after use.
Are you talking about for number two or number one?
Number two.
Is it not getting all the way down the toilet?
Yeah.
Oh, because skid marks.
Yeah.
Oh.
That's what the little brush is for.
Okay.
And when they don't use the little brush... It's pretty fucking annoying.
Okay. The little brush.
The little brush. There's a reason we have the little brush. Every toilet has a little brush.
Just right by there.
And
just...
if it doesn't, it should.
Hey, but then when do you clean the little brush? Okay. Okay.
Do you have little brushes?
We have little brush. But I don't
It's
know.
Just like just a discreet little brush.
Yeah.
It's like next to every toilet.
Yeah.
It's there for a reason.
Yes. But in case you leave.
And kids should use it too.
In case you mark your territory.
Yes.
Okay.
Everyone use the little brush.
Everyone use a little brush. PSA. Also, too, dudes, I told you this about when I felt my ass fell in the toilet. Like, you either, when I was pregnant, like, either if you're going to lift the seat to be courteous and not pee on the toilet seat that everybody sits on, have the decency to put the seat back so I don't, my ass doesn't fall into the toilet.
Emily's ass does not want to fall in the
toilet. No. Or if you choose to leave the seat down and you pee on it, if you sprinkle while you tinkle, be a sweetie and wipe the seaty. Like, PSA.
Husband sprinkle when he tinkles?
Well, I mean, make a decision. Commit one way or the other.
My son sprinkles
when he tinkles. Okay, so you got to pick one. If you're going to raise the lid and you want to whiz all over that and just have whatever happen, put the fucking lid down. And then if you're going to leave the lid down and then you sprinkle on the toilet seat, be a sweetie and wipe the seedy. Hey, quit buying cheap.
We're airing our dirty laundry.
Quit buying cheap toilet paper in bulk.
Oh, my God. This happened to me.
Fucking one ply shit. No.
One ply from Costco.
So it takes you get two wipes.
Trying to save a buck or two.
Yeah, you get two wipes out of one roll.
Our private parts have to suffer.
Yeah.
For months. And you know what? I had this realization.
Way more sensitive.
Yeah.
We're wiping more than you guys.
Yes. Just I had so this you know. Realization after like a couple of weeks of using it. I was like, oh my God, I can go buy new toilet paper. Like, I don't know why I thought I had to like fight through this until it was gone. I can save it. So I put it off to the side for like
emergencies.
And then Ryder had his pumpkin project and he had to make a mummy cat. And I was like, perfect.
Here we go.
I have some one ply toilet paper for this project. And then once I'm going to save it until he starts TPing houses someday. I'm like, perfect. I have some toilet paper for you.
Okay.
I'm not going to use that shit on my body.
Good for you.
Thank you.
I appreciate your courage. Okay. Man gear everywhere. Do we need to discuss this or is it pretty self-explanatory?
Yeah.
I mean, we've talked about my fishing room in our house.
And my dining room that's turned into a golf room.
I know. Well, you need to get that shit in order. Get ProSlat out there.
I have ProSlat.
Get that shit hung up.
It's helped. It's helped, but still finds a way.
He's not following through.
No.
I need you to follow through, Kelly. Okay. Parenting Emmy. Does that need to be saved for?
Yeah.
Okay. So we've saved. So we've gotten rid of some things. Not gotten rid of. We've tackled some things in the tackle box, but we're going to save two of those.
Okay.
For later.
I love it.
But right now, we have a very special guest.
We are super pumped now to be joined by a very special guest. It is the president of the Dallas Stars, our friend Brad Alberts in the Mom Game studio. Brad, thanks so much for joining us here today.
Thanks for having me. Honored to be here.
Yes. I know you went on with the Dumb Zone guys, and we were a little jealous.
You guys are way better.
We're a lot nicer. But we do have like kind of the same sort of topics a little bit to talk about, but obviously all kinds of things we can discuss when you have the president of a team in studio with you. But first off, let's just chat a little bit about this Dallas Stars season. Off to a really good start, a huge win last night in Pittsburgh. Things have to be, I guess, keeping people pretty happy in the front office right now.
Yeah, I mean, we just got through October. We obviously had a trip to Finland, which was an incredible experience for everybody to go over there. Obviously, we didn't win the games, and that was, you know, the big disappointment there. But going to Finland with the guys and seeing Miro and Rupe and Essa in their home country and seeing that country, you know, that loves hockey come out to really support us. You know, and just getting to see their culture was really, really cool experience for us in the, you know, the first, you know, kind of 30 to 40 days of our season. And yeah, we're sitting here 9-5 today, and I think we're all happy at the same time. I don't think we probably feel like we've played great yet, but that's probably pretty good. We're sitting here 9-5. And last night was one of those, you know, odd NHL games where kind of we broke out, and hopefully that's going to give, you know, a number of our guys that have kind of been slow to get going here some momentum. But things are good in Stars Land. The business is great. We love our team. I think we got to go through the grind though to get back to the playoffs.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay, I want to kind of go in a little bit reverse order, about a little bit about you, your background, you know, your time here with the Stars, your love of hockey, kind of where all that started, and how you got to where you are.
Well, I've now been, Emily, in Dallas since, you know, I was in my mid-20s, so almost 30 years. So my entire adult life is here in Texas. I'm from Wisconsin originally and played college hoops there, of all things.
Okay.
Didn't really have an opportunity to play hockey as a young kid. I didn't know anybody that played.
Even in Wisconsin?
No, I would have had to. My parents would have had to drive me an hour north to Madison to probably figure out how to play hockey. There was nobody that I knew growing up that even played. Now, we watched the Wisconsin Badgers, who were really good back then. Bob Johnson was the coach. And I would, you know, back in the old days, I would be able to get my UHF antenna and get the Blackhawks out of Chicago every now and then, and I would watch some Blackhawks games. But I didn't really have any big hockey, you know, opportunities. And, you know, the Milwaukee Admirals were the minor league team in Milwaukee. So played hoops and then got down here and was fortunate enough to, you know, to jump on board with the Stars right after they moved from Minneapolis, and obviously fell in love with the sport, fell in love with this franchise, and then, you know, moved into baseball as well when I got to know you at the Rangers. When Tom Hicks bought the Rangers, I spent 10 years, you know, in MLB with the Rangers as well, and just was able to navigate, you know, through the business and really understand all aspects of the sales and marketing pieces of sports. And then I think probably most importantly now for this job that I'm in now, really understand the landscape of DFW and the politics and really the sports landscape, the business landscape, and the personalities that are all involved. I think that's probably the thing that I look back on most that's given me some advantages now in this role, is just my understanding and 30 years of history in DFW.
Well, and two, one more thing on the president, your background is not in hockey specifically. You're more focused on the business dealings. I think in this market, we get clouded sometimes because of the way the Cowboys are run. Mm-hmm. And even to an extent, the way the Rangers for a time, where John Daniels for a long time was the president and GM. Mm-hmm. CY held that title for a while too. Now that's been divvied up. From an educational business perspective, you know, I think a lot of people think if you're going to get into sports in the management side or whatever, that you have to have background in that sport in particular, and that's just not the case.
Yeah, no, I think we're probably set up like the majority of teams, yep. you know, throughout, you know, the big four sports and even the MLS, we'll call it the big five. I think where you've got the business now, Emily, is so sophisticated. There's so many things going on that you need separation. And the business is really sophisticated on what I'll call the operations side too, whether that's baseball ops or hockey ops. It's why Jim Nill and I are essentially partners in our business. Jim's focus is on the team. It's on our roster building. It's on the coaches. It's on signing players and managing the cap. And my focus is on the business. How do we generate revenue to pay for all of this? The sales and marketing aspects, the financial aspects, the arena business, our growth, where are we going? And then Jim and I meet in the middle and make sure that I understand what he's doing and he understands what I'm doing. And then we communicate effectively to ownership. So I think that's the more common approach to professional sports. And it's certainly the one that I feel is best suited now to handle the sophistication of the industry. It's too much for one person to try to, there's no way that I could be out scouting players. I could be managing the cap and then trying to figure out a sponsorship deal, you know, tomorrow. Yeah. It's just, there's way too much going on.
It's cross-checking, but not in the hockey.
There you correct. Go.
Exactly.
Look at me bringing it back to sport.
And how does that work with Tom Gilardi? I mean, it's been what, 13 years now or something since he purchased the team. Yep. So How is that working relationship and how is he as an owner? Because I know he's a big fan, right? He's a big fan of the game. He lives in Canada, so he's not here. So he's not super hands-on, but he wants to be involved. How does that work day to day?
Yeah, I think what I just described is how it works. I mean, Jim and I communicate amongst each other on the high profile and the big items that we need to. And then we communicate effectively with him. And that's, you know, if we're signing a player, you know, like we just did, you know, Jake Ottinger's, you know, contract extension, what, a month ago, several weeks ago. And that's exactly how, you know, that was handled. Jim and his staff handled the negotiation with Jake's people, his agent. Jim updates Tom on kind of where those are going and what our goal is and where we're trying to get Jake's contract at. Jim talks to me about it. Tom calls me and says, hey, what do you think? And I tell him what I think, and we end up getting a deal done. And so that'll be how we work, you know, moving forward on all issues. As if it's a business issue, you know, I'll involve Tom when it's time for him to be involved and engaged and when he needs to make a decision. And, you know, 95% of the time, I usually go to him with a recommendation as to what I think he should do or what we should do collectively as an organization. And I think that's really worked well over the last 5 years since I've been in this role and working directly with ownership. I think it makes it easy when Tom gives me a lot of leeway. He knows that I'm running the business. So when I come to him and say, hey, Tom, here's the issue. Here's my recommendation as to what we should do. Mm-hmm. I can't think of a time where Tom hasn't listened to my recommendation.
Yeah.
So I think that, you know, from my perspective, that's great. You're right. Tom's a huge fan. He's very engaged in what we're doing on the ice. And I think that's where his interest is. And then, you know, I steer him, I think, in the right direction on what we should do business-wise.
Yeah. Well, it seems like it works pretty well. Okay. Yeah. I have kind of like a personal question.
Here we go.
So, you know, we started this podcast and we started a company. It's nothing like y'all's, but it started a company and then we've got kids and then we've got lives and then we've got other jobs. Emily's got like four. I've got a couple other things. So you have a lot of, I'm just thinking about your day to day. Yes. Side hustles. So your day to day, you're managing people, you're managing people in the office, you're managing player contracts. You're talking with Jim, you're talking with Tom, all kinds of stuff. How do you organize your brain? Because I'm struggling with the brain organization and I need some tips from very smart, successful people with this. How do you compartmentalize it all to where you're not just always going crazy?
Well, I kind of am always going. So I don't know, hopefully not crazy, but I'm always going. It is the challenge, probably the biggest challenge that I have is managing my health and managing the stress. It is a lot. There's a lot going on. There's a lot of responsibility. There's a lot of things that are out of your control but yet you're responsible for. And you have to think about that. And, you know, people do dumb things and then it's my responsibility to deal with those.
Yeah.
So, it's not an easy thing. I'm a wellness guy. So I think fitness and working out, and I'm a big believer in meditation. I'm a big believer in eating well. And so I try to stay healthy and try to live, you know, through healthy habits, because if you don't, you can see how things can spiral quickly. Managing all the things that are going on, the stress of, you know, how to run the business in addition to managing all of the people, managing ownership, dealing with partners. There's a lot going on.
That's not even including like personal whatever, right? And, like family, kids, well, someone in college.
I'll tell you this, you know, and I've said this before. I mean, if you're going to be in this business and you're going to be at this level, whether you're a head coach, you're a general manager, or you're a president, if your family's got to be all in. And I'm fortunate. I've got a great wife that is all in with me. And I've got one daughter and she's all in. So the three of us live this. And so if it wasn't that way, it would be really difficult. You're probably not going to be either a really good husband and father, or you're not going to be a good executive.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got to have buy-in. You can't have distractions, and I don't. I don't have family distractions. I have family all in. I mean, a funny story, my daughter texted me last night, and she says, are we winning 6-1? And I said, yes, we are. I mean, that's how she views it. She's in Kansas, and she's like, the stars are we. And it's you know, it's a family, you know, job. And if I was going to leave, you know, as an example, it would be a family decision. I wouldn't just do it without talking to Grace and without talking to Kate. So family is really important in having all, you know, buy-in to make this thing, you know, work.
Yeah.
And then you got to be organized. You know, I keep lists, you know, and I rely on Brittany McMullen, who's my admin, who is a rock star in all this, to help me manage schedules, to help me manage meetings. So you can't do it all by yourself. You've got to have really strong people around you, and I do.
That's a really good answer.
It is a good answer. And lists, I'm a big, 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 big list girl, for sure. And then two, the, you know, finding people you can trust to help you maneuver those things
100%.
That need to be maneuvered. And it was funny you said that about the family thing. And I've told this story before, and we were just talking about me with the Rangers. Am I coming back next season? I do year-to-year contract. So, and part of that decision was made very early on when I started my very first season with the Rangers. I'm pretty sure that's when my 1-year deal started every single season. And the reason I wanted to do that was because I wanted to have those discussions with my family to reevaluate where we were. When I went to work for the Rangers and left the network, I had a less than 1-year old, and Henry was almost, I mean, a 1 and a 3-year old. Mm-hmm. And so I wanted that flexibility to where if it became too much, if it became too overwhelming, that we could have those discussions. And I don't think a lot of people, or maybe they do now more than they used to, but involve those parties in their planning, in their discussions. And for me, that's important, for especially my kids now being 13 and 11, that we sit down every year and, you know, are you ready for this? You saw what mommy had to miss last season, and are we all that kind of stuff. When did that start for you? At what age was your daughter? And I would assume those were discussions you always had with your wife.
Yeah. I mean, Kate's been incredibly supportive throughout my career. Now I've been blessed. I haven't had to move. I've been able to stay in Dallas and work for the Rangers and work for, you know, for the Stars and work at Legends for a few years as my career, you know, kind of to blossom. I think as I started to become an executive, Emily, is when that really started to heat up and when it really became kind of we are in this. And so probably in the last, you know, 12 years, you know, Grace was born in 06. So, you know, shortly after that is when this stuff, you know, really kicked in. And it is, you've got to have a really strong support group to do all this. And the pressure, the competition, you know, and you've got to have a small inner circle. You know, there's times when I don't want to go talk publicly. I don't want to talk to everybody about what's going on because, one, I can't. Two, some of it's a big story and you just don't want all of this, you know, whether it's gossip or information all over the city, because it's stuff that people want to know for sure. So you've got to rely on that small inner circle. And certainly I've been blessed. I've got a great inner circle that, you know, where family is. And I've got a great group of people at, you know, that support me and support us with the Stars, my executive team. And so I think that stuff is really important, and you take it for granted because that doesn't exist everywhere. And I know just people in the industry that have really struggled with that. They've ended up divorced, you know, and you look at it and their life just isn't complete because, you know, the kids are split and wife's gone or husband's gone. Yeah, they're working, but, you know, things just haven't, you know, all come together because of, you know, the pressures of the job, the demands of the job, and you know, and the things, you know, the spouses just couldn't see through it and couldn't get on the same page to support. So, you know, the other thing is you can't be jealous. You know, this job is, you know, there's a lot of public, you know, ness that comes with it. And if you've got a spouse that's jealous of that attention, man, it's not going to work either. And I'm fortunate. Kate's not jealous of that. She's not jealous of the time that I have to spend away. She, in fact, embraces it and becomes part of it.
Let me just tell you, we as wives, we all like it when you leave town.
To an extent. Depends on how old the kids are and how long you're gone.
Yeah, not for too long. Not just a little break.
Just little bit.
Yeah, yeah. I think the feeling is mutual on the husband and the wife front, for sure.
Right.
For sure.
Yeah.
But it does make the buy-in so much better. I think back to the World Series last year for my family, and it was so special to me, but it was so cool for me to get to share that with them and to see how excited they were. I mean, I remember after we won, FaceTiming my 13-year-old son. Yeah. He was like, "Mom, we did it. We did it." You know, I mean, it was just like, oh, it was the coolest thing in the world. And so it does make it that much more fulfilling as a professional when you know that your family is, and those who
it
matter
makes the
most
sacrifice
to you.
Worth
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
When the guys on the field or ice win, if they don't, you're like, damn it, this job, dang it.
Yeah, yeah. Right. It does.
It helps when everybody's winning.
Winning cures a lot. Yeah. And you do need to have success every now and then. It's very hard. And, you know, in the way, especially at the highest levels, you know, the systems are set up that you're not going to win all the time, but you certainly want to win some of the time because the grind of going through losing seasons like what you've seen with the Rangers, you know, what we've been through with the Stars. I mean, that takes a lot out of you. And so you do need to have those experiences where that euphoria of winning and accomplishing what you've set out and worked so hard to do, you actually do it because it's very difficult. What the Rangers did and what we're trying to do, I mean, it's really hard.
Yeah.
And it's set up to be a different.
I know. And especially when you've been so close.
Yeah.
And then you're like, oh, here we are at game one of 82.
And we started all over again.
Before we can even think about trying to get back to where we were. But I think so much of it, athletes, coaches, you know, front offices, they recognize and realize that. And they're more prepared for it, I think, probably than, you know, ordinary fans are.
You've got to embrace the grind.
Yeah.
That is what we talk about. And it is a grind. I mean, as you know, going through it with your husband, I mean, it's a grind. Traveling and, you know, playing every other day. But you've got to embrace it. If you don't like it, you can't do it because there's nothing going to, it's supposed to be hard. It's designed to be hard. Nobody says it's going to be easy.
Right.
Playing 162 games in baseball, you know, three, you know, going on those, you know, away, you know, trips for 2 weeks. It's hard.
Yeah.
It's hard on the families and, you know, and all those things. So, you know, nobody said this is, it's an easy life. It's not. There's far easier lifestyles to have, you know, than being in pro sports or being even at the highest level of, you know, intercollegiate sports, those kind of things. But there are obviously great benefits. And certainly those moments that you got to experience last year with your family, with your coworkers is one of those you'll never forget.
Yeah.
Sure. Well, I know that this season has been kind of a pivotal one for you and for the organization, obviously, with the big shift in the television coverage and Victory Plus.
Yep.
And it's been, I know it was a bit of a risk, a big decision that you guys had to make where your games were going to be broadcast, and you guys kind of just decided to do it yourself and create a platform to then broadcast your games on. So I just want to hear now, what are we, 15-ish games into the season? Yep. How it's going and, you know, what kind of things you've had to work through along the way and how you see it going in the future.
Well, you're right. We're now a month into it. And when I did the show with the guys, we hadn't started yet. Yeah. So, yeah, we're now off and running. And I think it's gone pretty much exactly the way I anticipated it. And it wasn't, you know, just seamless. We've had a few bumps. We had a bump right on, you know, on opening night, you know, the first game where we had some technology glitches in the second period. But the good news, you know, was APMC recognized those And we played the next night and had them already rectified and fixed. So I knew there was going to be some of these technological glitches. And we're continuing to work through, you know, those as they've come up over the last month. But for the most part, I think the user experience has been really good. The graphics package looked great. The, you know, the quality of the picture, whether you're watching it on a device, whether it's a phone or even on your TV. You know, last night I was watching it on our TV, was great. I mean, Josh and Razor continue to do a great job. The advertising community has really embraced it. For the most part, everybody, every advertiser that bought Starz TV last year has purchased again. And we're, you know, we're selling some new ones. So I think all in all, it's been really good. You know, now we've had to, you know, we've had games like we just played Winnipeg 2 o'clock in the afternoon on a Saturday. We've had a number of games up against football in the first month. So our viewership is probably, you know, showing that and displaying that. And again, it's what I said. I think I told, you know, the guys when I was doing their podcast, we've got to look at this over 2 years. You've got to get through all the different phases of the season. You know, college football ends Thanksgiving weekend, basically. Okay, so then you're going to, football kind of starts to dissipate a little bit. All right, do we see changes in viewership post-football? All right, then you get past the NFL. Once you get into January and February, the NFL is pretty much done. Now you're in the heart of the winter, the core, you know, hockey season. Do we see, you know, changes in the viewership numbers then? And then you start to, you know, roll right into playoff season. And so we need to, we haven't even gone through one season yet to see how that all plays out. We're going to do that. Then we're going to go into year two and see if we can make improvements on each one of those phases. So I think right now, as I said before, I'm going to be watching viewership. We are. I would say our viewership numbers are okay. They haven't blown me away, but they're okay. And again, some of it is we're going up against college football, 2 o'clock. We played Edmonton 3 o'clock in the afternoon on a Saturday. So you got to factor those things into, especially down here when you've got so much college football going on. But I think, I don't know that I would change anything from the time we went public in July to where we are now. We are on the cusp of something. I believe that this is where everything is headed. We're all going to be watching television on through streaming platforms. I think the old linear model of cable and satellite is going to continue to just dissipate, and this is going to continue to take off. So I think we're on the front, you know, end of it. Like I told you before we started the show, where this all plays out long term still remains to be seen. I'm not saying that we have the fix. We may, but it's certainly good for now.
And so, and one of the things that you guys have done, like you said, taking it all on yourselves and then providing that app for free. Mm-hmm. There's no subscription, there's no nothing. All you have to do is download it. So you're available eyeballs. This is available to anyone with one of these or with a smart TV.
Yep.
When you look at that, how many people are converting on that relative to the limited audience that was available via Bally Sports?
Well, I'll tell you, our download numbers are really good. So that's been one of those things that's been, you know, really nice to see, the people that have adopted and downloaded the app. So now we need to push engagement and viewership of those people that have downloaded. And again, I think some of that is we're going to see those numbers start to improve as we get through college football and pro football. So I think that's part of it. But the download numbers have been great. And I think so the engagement around the app has been fantastic. Bringing the guys from the ticket in has really helped. And I think we're going to continue to build on that content roster to help drive both, you know, analytical numbers there, both downloads and then viewership. You know, Anaheim is on the platform already. There's a number of other teams that are looking to join the platform. I think some of it's going to be, you know, in their individual markets, what happens with, you know, now FanDuel, not Bally's. So now the FanDuel network, but it's still Diamond. And, you know, I think that this is the future. It's teams all have to make their own individual decisions as to when do they want to go there. Some want to go there now. Some want to continue to wait. It's okay. There is no right or wrong answer. What the Rangers are doing is different than what we did. It doesn't make either decision right or wrong. It's just it is what it is. Everybody's got to figure out what works for them.
And you have an ability with Victory Plus, don't you, to house a number of different, like as many sure. platforms, or not platforms, that platform has the ability to host as many, for lack of a better word, channels mm-hmm. devoted to different teams, different
content. Yeah.
Radio stations. Correct. Whatever. Anything like that.
Yeah. It's really unlimited. I mean, you can see now we've got a number of different pieces of content on there. Neil's got powerboat racing and he had some, he had Dude Perfect. We've got Anaheim. So yeah, we can add four or five other teams to the mix really easy and make it really simple for the user. Download the app for free. Go there, click on what content you want to watch and watch it. It's all there. And obviously, Emily, that was, you know, what we wanted to do when we set out to do this. We didn't want to make this confusing. We realized that the consumer was frustrated with all, you know, the paywall and where do I go? How do I get the, you know, what channel my, you know, my team's on? It's all really easy. Just download the app. We're right there. We're not charging. We don't believe in the paywall. We feel like there's another way to create the economics around this besides trying to, you know, put everybody's credit card in. I think people have credit card fatigue.
Oh my gosh.
You know, so we
password fatigue, credit card fatigue, all of it. So many fatigues.
So we thought that. And again, sophisticated streamers are going to figure out end arounds to get around paywalls anyway. And that was one of the things that Neil Gruninger at APMC, you know, made a point to tell me right away. And I believe him. So I haven't, we haven't heard of any real success behind paywalls. So we're like, let's not do it. Let's try to drive viewership, make it as easy as we can, make it free for the fan, and we'll figure out other ways to drive, you know, the economics.
Right. That's
what we're doing.
Another perk is probably just like having a direct line to the fans and for your messaging, cutting out the middleman of the TV network or whatever. Whatever it is that you guys want to say about your team, about your product, you can say directly to the people watching. And I know you've kind of looped that in with some cool like things that you're giving away to the fans and incentives to join, to subscribe, to come to events, to be a bigger part of this whole like Stars experience. How's that aspect of it been going as far as like the fan engagement and fan involvement?
Yeah, you're right. We now control the entire broadcast. We can do essentially whatever we want. And I think now that we've gotten through the first month, we've worked through the fundamentals. We'll start to get fun with some of the creative stuff that you're talking about. Yeah. Some promotion to drive viewership.
Mom's night out.
Mom's night out. Sure.
There you go. Wine night.
Yeah. Mom.
Just saying. Yeah. Here we go. I mean, just an idea.
For sure. I mean, and so we can do some of those things. You know, we've talked about, I mean, the Manning cast has kind of, you know, turned into a thing. We've talked, we kind of, you know, did a little bit of that around some of the preseason games. We could do that again. We could bring, you know,
Get Luddy a couple pops.
He's doing his own thing.
Oh, yeah, he's got his own pod.
He's got his own podcast. Yeah, exactly. So,
All City.
All City. So, anyway, yeah, we can, now that we've gotten through kind of launching, getting through the fundamentals, getting the technology glitches worked out, I think now we can start kind of advancing into some other things.
Yeah, that's so exciting. Okay, anything else on Victory Plus that we didn't ask you about that you want people to know? Because I want to move on to something else if we're good.
No, I think we've covered it and I continue to be patient. You know, we're going to continue to refine it and make it better as we go along. And I think where we are now compared to where we were a month ago, we're in a better spot and we'll be better by Christmas.
Yeah, so. Well, it looks and sounds great. Yeah. I mean, you know, to the consumer, I feel like there's really no difference. Once you know how to find it, then you're locked and loaded, good to go for the whole season. Okay, youth hockey is something that I just want to discuss with you a little bit because I know that's been a big initiative for the Dallas Stars to kind of help try and grow youth hockey in North Texas ever since you guys came over from Minnesota. And it's really exploded. So just talk to us a little bit about the Stars centers and the opportunity that you guys put in front of people to get engaged with youth hockey.
Well, I've said it a number of times. I think besides winning the Stanley Cup, probably the greatest thing that the Stars have brought to Texas is we brought the game. And we brought the grassroots game to the state where now boys and girls can play ice hockey. They would not be doing this and would not have access to this great, you know, game if we weren't here. And that, you know, that involves building the infrastructure, as you referenced, our centers, to create the ice. I mean, that's not easy to do in a state with a climate like ours. And we are, you know, we're the model for, you know, non-traditional hockey markets in warm weather areas to build the game. Everybody comes to us to say, how did you guys do this? Well, and it's been, you know, it's 20 years in the making. We started with one. We're now at 8 with another one in Northlake under construction. So we'll have 18 sheets of ice in the Metroplex once Northlake is completed next year, which is incredible when you think back to we had one sheet when we first got here in the 90s when I started at Valley Ranch. So that growth multiple has been incredible. And not only is it a good business for us, the numbers of kids that are playing both boys and girls hockey in North Texas have never been bigger. And so we need more sheets. We could build add two more sheets of ice right now in Collin County and they would be full. So that's our biggest hurdle to growth is getting more ice built, but it's expensive. And the way we do it through public-private partnerships, it takes time. Mm-hmm. And so we just have to work through those timelines. But the business and the sport have never been more popular and the numbers have never been bigger. And we continue to push for growth. We're now looking at other markets outside of DFW to try to grow the game, including Austin. We've talked to Kyle, Texas about a rink there. We're talking to more cities that are, you know, really coming out of the ground in the northern part of the DFW area that are really going to be population centers for the next 20 years about adding, you know, our facilities. So a lot there, Julie.
A whole lot there. Yeah. Just like you don't have much going on, do you?
Yeah.
Well, we just went out just last a couple of days ago and I was just really impressed with, like, you know, the programming and they have cool stuff going on for the holidays. I think that here on the Mom Game, you know, we'd love to help spread the word too, like Santa out on the ice and lights and all this, and then the try hockey for free. Like, that's amazing. Yep. So if you have a child that maybe is interested in learning to skate, or maybe they watch the Dallas Stars and are like, what's this sport? My friends are only playing football, basketball, baseball at the Star Centers. You can go out there and they have a program where you essentially can get out on the ice and learn hockey at no cost.
Because it's not it's like baseball. Baseball is an expensive sport to play. Basketball, you need basically a good pair of shoes and a ball.
Yep.
You know, football, some pads, all that. But it seems like hockey the most, like,
expensive.
Yes.
It is. Yeah. And that's why we have those programs, because we recognize, and even the NHL does, and the NHL helps endorse and sponsor those programs across a lot of markets. We know that in order to get families introduced to the sport, we have to take money out of the equation. And so what we want to do is we want to, you know, let parents have little Johnny or little Susie come out to the rink and get experience this and not have to go drop, you know, $500 on skates and pads and helmets and sticks. So we'll provide that to get them started. And then obviously if they want to continue on and become a player, enter our house leagues, you know, and further hockey, obviously they then have to start to pay. But the initial expense, we try to take that away from parents as an excuse not to introduce their kids. Sure. And it's been received really well in the market. We've been doing it probably for a decade. And we'll continue to do it. It's important to for the growth of the game. It's an important, you know, aspect as we continue to try to reach out to the African-American community, to the Latino community, to have those families that are such a big part of, you know, the DFW area think of hockey for them as well. And Al Montoya has done a great job of getting into those communities and telling the parents that, you know, hockey is for you. You can play, and making them comfortable in getting involved around our sport and coming to our ranks.
Love it, because it's fun.
Yeah.
It's fun to glide around the ice, you know?
Yep. If you can
glide. The more kids, the better. Well, you got to learn.
Yeah.
And try hockey for free, Emily.
It's for kids. I'm a little old.
You don't want to try right now?
Old dog.
Hey, Tom Brady did it. I don't know if you guys saw that. Tom Brady was on skates.
He's also a freak of nature. I mean, this old dog is limited on the new tricks I'm willing to try at this point. And I feel like that sheet of ice is pretty hard. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
I'm equipped for...
Well, we can get you some butt pads.
For the falls that I would take. But I appreciate the
honor. Well, Brad, it's been awesome getting to visit with you here on the Mom Game. I know it's been a long time coming. We've wanted to have you on, and we're excited to continue the conversations down the road and follow along with what's going on with the Stars and Victory Plus.
Thank you for having me. Good luck to you guys with this.
Okay, yeah, we end every show, but it's just very cheesy, but we're 5 years
in. Yeah, right?
We can do that too. You look into your camera, yours is right there, and you throw up the peace signs and you say, Mom, game out. It's just what we do. And 5 years in, we refuse to give up the tradition.
It's true.
On the count of three, Mom, game out. In 1, 2, 3.
Mom, game out.
The Mom Game is proud to partner with local GEICO offices, Victoria Elliott, proudly serving your local community.